Welcome to Harvard HealthCast. I'm Elaine Grant. Today we're talking with Wynn Hyde, Associate Professor of Bioinformatics and Computational Biology at Harvard School of Public Health. Wynn is passionate about the enormous promise big data holds for public health researchers, especially for scientists like him who are searching for cures for cancer and other diseases. But he is concerned that researchers are generating so much data that, without new ways of sharing it, only a tiny portion will ever be used. He's helped come up with new, easier ways of sharing data, but there are academic and social reasons why many scientists still prefer to keep their data to themselves. That, he says, can stifle progress.
In the last 5 years, more data has been generated than the entire history of mankind in terms of scientific data. And so think about that. That's the last 5 years. So you can imagine what's going to happen in the next five. So we're going on a very steep slope. We're calling it jokingly the data tsunami. Just imagine something that's, oh, you're so big. You're so amazingly large. I can't see you. You're just so big. You know, you have the elephant and you can see its hair, but then you have to step back and then you see the tail. It's just so big. So what do we mean by that? Well, imagine a matrix. You know, normally you see a data matrix where somebody's taken 8 or 10 or 100 or 1,000 genes and they compare it to another set of experiments and you see what looks like a dot plot. You see what looks like a paper towel basically in front of you. But imagine a house made out of groups of paper towels. Imagine a city made out of thousands of sheets of paper towel, each of them containing these sets of data. Imagine a whole planet that size. Now imagine a million planets. Imagine a galaxy full of those, and we haven't even got there yet. That's high-dimensional data.
There's so much data available to Harvard School of Public Health researchers, in fact, that Wynn recently led an effort to raise almost $500,000 to pay for the technology needed to store the sequencing of human genomes and gene fragments. We're here in the Harvard Faculty of Arts and Sciences high-rise data farm in downtown Boston, where that petabyte of storage sits along with racks and racks of other Harvard data. The facility may look mundane, but what it makes possible for public health researchers is far from it.
You know, public health researchers are very distributed and heterogeneous, but there's one thing they all have in common. We all share DNA. And looking at that DNA and how it varies in populations is actually a fundamental aspect now of public health. And the exciting aspect of that is it's moving, and I'm not kidding you, into USB sticks we stick into our computer that sequence our DNA and we throw them away. So we spend $500, get our genome, and load it up onto our PC. And here's the exciting bit. It ends up potentially in facilities like this, which we access with our cell phones. So our smartphones will be housing and interacting between us using apps with this massive facility where we'll effectively have cloud storage of genome data, of course, managed in a very secure way. And what we'll be doing in the future, I'm sure of it, the world of public health will be one where we're bringing information about how much tea you're drinking and who you're drinking it with and who you like and connecting that with our genetic information. I know that sounds Orwellian, but the clean version of that is that we have to start worrying about epidemiology and infectious disease in a new way. And the only way we can do that is to store information in a far, far, far more data-intensive way. We recognized about 4 years ago that if we don't prepare now, prepare then for what's going to hit us now, we were going to be in really serious trouble. Because we knew that the technologies that were coming along that were very much in the mind's eye of the scientists we work with were going to create enormous amounts of data, most of which would never be used, and a tiny proportion of which is deeply valuable. And the question is, which is the valuable part?
Back in his office, Wynn explains that in order to find the valuable parts, the ivory tower model of science has to end. In its place, a new emphasis on collaboration.
The key issue is that there's so much data that no individual can look at it. We have to be able to share the data and the people. And so our aim is to do this data sharing.
Early in 2012, Wynn led an effort that allows scientists from fields as different as stem cell research and environmental health to share those mammoth databases. When his lab shared a cancer database with many other labs' databases, they made a dramatic discovery.
we've discovered, actually, and we haven't published this yet, so I can't tell you the name of the gene, but we've discovered a single gene that we think is responsible for the initiation of a whole class of leukemias. And we discovered that because there were projects in mouse leukemias, project in human leukemias, project in zebrafish equivalents of blood development, all very interesting. But until we could combine the information coherently, we weren't able to discover things about the underlying molecular biology. Now that we've been able to do this, and this is work that's happened the last few weeks, we found a gene set or a set of controlling elements in these systems that seems common. And people in cancer never see these sorts of things happen. So I'm talking a little bit, you know, flippantly. We haven't proven it yet. But this has given us the opportunity to go after a great lead that we've never seen before. And we wouldn't be able to do that unless we were able to share the information coming from five or six different laboratories, some of them inside the institutes we work with, and some coming from publications through this common format.
Do you have a particular frustration? Is there a disease that you know could be cured if you could analyze the massive amounts of data that are out there faster?
Melanoma. Not so many scientists study melanoma. I think it's because if you get melanoma, you don't live very long. So if you get it early, it's whipped out and you forget about it. And if you don't, you die. And so you don't get a time to approach your congressman and say, fund it, fund research. What's happened is the Black family, a woman by the name of Black, has invested her poor personal fortune, because she has melanoma, into an organization called the Melanoma Research Alliance, which is a fantastic group of really solid people. And what they've done is they've decided to fund innovative research in melanoma, but they can't do the whole thing. And what I want to see, my vision, is to bring together the melanoma research data from the 10 or 15 major labs that are working in this area and put it in an environment in this common structure so that we can, for the first time, traverse this dataverse and see what's going on. Because what's happening right now is there is fantastic drugs that basically give you full remission for 7 months, and then suddenly it comes back, and within, you know, another year, you've passed away. And my son has a teacher who has melanoma. I mean, these sorts of things are just so indescribably heartbreaking. And we know that if we were able to bring the data together, I am convinced that we could do a great job of working with other scientists to cure this disease, and we could do it in the next 5 to 10 years, no problem. But accessing that, overcoming the social scientific barriers, is our challenge at this time.
You've been listening to a conversation with Winston Hyde, Associate Professor of Bioinformatics and Computational Biology at Harvard School of Public Health. To learn more, visit our website, www.hsph.harvard.edu. I'm Elaine Grant for Harvard HealthCast.